All right. Thank you so much. Grace Baptist Church, first of all, we'd like to say thank you for supporting us for so many years, and for your faithfulness and praying for us and supporting us. And it's been truly a blessing. And so what I'm going to do this evening, I'm going to go ahead and do the presentation of our ministry. And some of the things I'll mention here hopefully will explain some of the things that we've done in the recent years. But my name is Bill. This is my wife, Lynn. Lynn, if you would stand just for a moment real quick. This is my wife, Lynn. We're the Nortons, missionaries to Latin America. My wife is an identical twin. I'm also an identical twin. So you have an identical twin that married an identical twin. Now, our kids, we didn't have twins. Our kids could have twins, but we're so thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. We served as missionaries in Latin America with BIMI for 26 years. And during that time, the Lord has allowed us to see hundreds of people come to know Christ as their Savior, and many follow them in baptism. And that's all a part of Grace Baptist Church's ministry. The folks that we saw saved and baptized, men called to preach, churches started. Again, all of that is fruit that abounds in your account. We had the privilege of starting churches and also helping others start churches, and we give all the honor and glory for God, to God for what He's done. And for 6 years, we pastored a church in North Central Arkansas. After the former pastor's unexpected passing, God led us to return from the mission field to take over that work. The former pastor was my wife's pastor. He married us, and God just worked in that situation. We were not looking at all to come back to the States. We were happy where we were. It was something that God did, and we're very thankful for that. And during those 6 years that we pastored there in Arkansas, the Lord helped us to stabilize the church, to see souls saved and baptized and added to the church. And we also were able to add 27 new missionary families in that six-year time frame. We left the church financially strong and spiritually healthy, and right now the church does have another pastor, and it is one of our supporting pastors, and we're so thankful for the relationship that we have there. But that time also allowed us to help our children adjust to life here in America after being born on the mission field. We mentioned some of those things this morning in Sunday school. Our oldest two, they're now married. We have four grandchildren. That's a blessing. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I don't think I'm old enough to have grandchildren, but that's just the way it is. We have four grandchildren, and our youngest, she graduated from Bible college last May, and Lord willing, she will be getting married in November. God also gave me the opportunity to care for my father in the final years of his life, to serve as power of attorney for his estate, and the Lord allowed me the opportunity to go. He lived in Fredericksburg, Virginia, to drive over to Fredericksburg on several occasions with the purpose of visiting with him and testifying and witness to him again. At the time, we didn't understand why the Lord was leading us back to the States, but now we can see clearly how the Lord was at work in our lives. The blessings and opportunities we've just shared were made possible because we followed His leading. And now the Lord has opened the door for us to return to the mission field, and we're thrilled to see what He's doing. We are currently on full-time deputations since the first week of June of last year, so now we're coming up on 1 year, trusting God to provide the support needed to go back to the field. And since we already know the language and the culture, it'll just be a matter of us unplugging here and plugging back in there where God has called us. So let's watch the video. It's a 4 minute video. Very hard to put 26 years into a 4 minute video, but it'll give you an idea of what the Lord has done. So we'll watch the video, and then I'll have some final comments, and there'll be a question and answering if there are any questions.
Missionaries to Latin America. My name is Bill, and this is my wife, Lynn. When we first arrived on the mission field in 1994, it was just the two of us. But by God's grace, He blessed us with four children, Kimberly, Jessica, Justin, and Lauren. Over the past 26 years, the Lord has allowed us to serve Him in Colombia, Argentina, and Mexico. And we also had the privilege of helping another missionary start a new work in Chile. Through God's guidance, we've been able to strengthen existing churches, as well as planting new ones which are still going strong today. These churches were started with men who were saved, baptized, and trained under our ministry. Today, these men and churches are continuing the work, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and supporting missionaries. We also have a family as missionaries serving the Lord in South Korea. We had the privilege of starting a Bible college to train pastors, missionaries, Christian school teachers, children's ministry workers, and church leaders and workers. And many of our graduates are serving the Lord in various ways and places. Church, we want to remind you that giving to missions still works. Obeying the Great Commission truly makes a difference. The pictures you see in this presentation are a testimony to missions in action. Lives reached with the gospel because of churches like yours who have a burden to spread the gospel throughout Latin America. Many lives have been impacted and changed because of churches faithfully carrying out the Great Commission. In December of 2018, the Lord led us back to the States to take over a church in Arkansas after the passing of our dear friend, Pastor Rick Dawson. Now, after 6 years, God is leading us back to the mission field. During our deputation ministry in 1992 through 94, we spoke often about the need for missionaries in Latin America. We're so grateful for the churches that have held the ropes for us throughout the years. Much has been accomplished for God's glory, but there is still much work to be done and many more to be reached for Christ. We are excited to return to the mission field, back to the places where we have lived and labored for so many years, to continue reaching the lost and planting churches. God has called and equipped us, and we are praying that you will consider partnering with us as we continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Latin America. Thank you.
Once our support is complete, we'll return to the heart of Mexico. That's the last place we were at, where we last served, and we'll continue working with our national church planters. And again, these are men that were saved, baptized, and trained in our ministry. And we are in the process right now. This has been a long process out in the mountains of our state. We're in the process of starting a new work. This is something that we started before we left the field. And matter of fact, here in 10 days, 11 days, we'll be going back to Mexico. In that area, there's a building that we're looking at renting to actually start getting the church together. These are small areas with 50 people, 75 people, 125 people. So we got a central location to bring people from those areas Lord willing, to start a church there. But also beyond Mexico, God has opened the doors for us in other Spanish-speaking countries to help new missionaries. I've had several conversations with folks here in the church today. It's very difficult when you go to a mission field. Things are just different. Life's different. Your world is turned upside down. And because we've done that, not just in one country, two countries, three countries, we've had the experience of doing that, and for whatever reason, God did that. But we now have had that experience, and we want to be able to use that experience to help others, to encourage young missionaries as they get to the field so that they'll just stick to it. They'll continue working with the language and the culture, and to help them as they start churches and training nationals. So we're excited about what God's doing. And I think some of you will remember what I'm getting ready to say. When I was 15 years old and 9 months, I bought my first car, and it was parked underneath our garage, or underneath our carport. And when I would come home from school, I would go into my bedroom, and I would get the keys, plural, to the car. Remember the round one and the rectangular one? I would get the keys to my car and I would start it up and I would drive down to the end of the driveway and then I would back it up and then I would do it again. I had already taken driver's ed. I knew how to drive. I had already driven. But I was waiting for that day to get my license. And finally, the day came, we turned 16. My dad took my twin brother and myself to the DMV. We got our license, came home, and I got in my car, and I was able to drive to school midday. Church, it's exactly how we feel. We've already been to these places. We know the language. We know the culture. But as we travel around and we know this is necessary, it's kind of like we're driving to the end of the driveway and backing up, to the end of the driveway and backing up. But we're looking forward to the day where the Lord allows us to have our support and we're able to get back to the field and to do what God has called us to do. So with that being said, this afternoon or this evening, are there any questions? Any questions at all before we get to the message this evening? Any questions? Yes, sir. We are at 63% of our support. So thankful for that. What a blessing. Anyone else? Yes, sir. There's mixed feelings because of what's happening here in the country. They understand, and these are some of the things that we could get into a lot of conversations about it, because, for example, Mexico has stricter immigration laws than we have. And there are issues. They know what's going on. They just don't like the fact that folks are going back. Just your common folks, it's not an issue, but there are people that want to make an issue. The church, we live in a different world today, period. And one of the blessings about working in Latin America is that when we see people saved and baptized and they're growing in the church, when God calls them to preach, some of these men and their families are going to countries in the 1040 window. They're going to countries where we couldn't get in as Americans because of different things that are going on. Our church, one of the churches there in Mexico, we support a Mexican missionary. He's Mexican. We support him, and he's in Morocco. And that's just a phenomenal thing. So there's a lot of work to be done throughout Latin America. Anyone? Yes, sir? Yes. Yes, all throughout Latin America, Catholicism, but the Catholicism there is very different than here in America. I give this illustration. I mentioned it earlier. Here in America, Catholicism is like a two-cylinder engine, but in Latin America, it's like an eight-cylinder engine, much more powerful, dominant. It is the state religion. To be president, you have to be Catholic and things of that nature. So people that come in and preach something different are considered outsiders. But yes, Catholicism. Anyone else this evening? Some good questions. I appreciate that. All right. If not, we're going to go ahead and get started. If you'll take your Bibles this evening, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Just the Bible. Matthew chapter 6. I like preaching through books of the Bible. I like preaching personages of the Bible. For example, Joseph or Elijah. I've preached through James and 1 John and Galatians. I like going verse by verse or passage by passage, teaching and preaching the Word of God. But tonight I have something a little bit different. It's not an expository message. We're going to take something out of Matthew chapter 6. And if you're not there yet, let me catch up with you. Matthew chapter 6, going to read a few verses here, very familiar, and then we're going to have a missions application from this passage. But Matthew chapter 6 this evening, begin reading in verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, do you notice that's the second time we've read that? God does expect us to pray. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray third time, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to be here at Grace Baptist Church. And Father, we thank you for the hospitality of the church and their faithfulness through the years supporting us financially and prayerfully. And Father, we pray that your blessings would be upon them. Father, we pray that your blessings would be upon the service this evening. Father, help us to take this thought, something very, very practical, I believe, but help it to be a help and a blessing to us, to encourage us as we think about the work of missions, both what we need to do here in our country and also around the world. And Father, I pray that you stir us once again for your cause and for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us know our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In Spanish, they do it as well. Speaking of Catholicism, you'll go when they pray, and Padre nuestro, que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. They'll pray that over and over again. And he mentions here about vain repetitions. And I find, just being transparent this afternoon, this evening, I find that I can be very repetitious in prayer as well. That I'm saying the same thing where it comes from the mouth instead of from the heart. And so he mentions that here. But as he goes, he said, when thou prayest, he's going through all these things. He says, listen, before you even pray, your heavenly Father knows what you need. To me, that's a comforting thought. I don't know if you're like I am, but there are times where I'll put my foot in my mouth or where the words just don't come out. I don't know how to say it right. But you can be in prayer and you're praying to your heavenly Father and you're asking for what you have need of and you're not able to express yourself like you would want to. You're not using the right words. You don't know if you're being specific enough. But listen, the Bible tells us that God knows what we need even before we ask. And that is an encouragement to us that we will go to our heavenly Father in prayer and that we'll ask him for what we have need of. Now, I want to take that thought and give it a mission application. Before we were saved, God knew what we needed. Is that not right? And now that we're saved, the same things that we needed in order to get saved, the lost today need. So what is it, or what could we say this evening, that the lost need in order to be saved? First of all, the lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. Thank God that we have the Bible in our hands today. Think of all that God did so that you and I could have in our hands today a faithful copy of the Word of God. One of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, preaching to a dying nation. But Jeremiah was faithful to preach. And in the book of Jeremiah, we find that there's a king, and the king is there, and as the Bible, a part of the scripture is being read to him, and there's a penknife, and they cut out the page, and they throw it into the fire. And the whole roll was consumed there in the fire. But church, that part of the scripture, that part of the Bible was not lost. Yes, it was burned up in a fire, but God made sure that you and I have that part of scripture today. And not only do we have that, but we also have in the Bible the story about that. Folks, these are things that God has done in order to give us His Word, the Bible. You and I need the Bible, and the lost today need a Bible. In Latin America, it's very common to find homes that have a family Bible. when we're out in the neighborhoods and we're talking to folks and knocking on doors and going by businesses. It's very different in some aspects from here. And we'll get to talking to someone and we'll say, hey, do you have a Bible in your home, in your house? And most of them will say yes. We say, how often do you read it? And that's just to strike up a conversation. But listen, church, it is so important that you and I have a copy of the Word of God, but it is so important that the lost today have a copy of the Word of God. I wanted my own Bible. When I got saved, I wanted my Bible. I went to church. I'm looking around, and everyone's got their own Bible. So I said, I need to get a Bible. I went to a bookstore, not a Christian bookstore. I went to a bookstore. I had no idea about anything. I went to a bookstore and a book asked for the religious section. They showed me this and just a few shelves there. And I went there and I got this Bible and I looked at it and I liked it. And so I bought it. It would end up being a King James Bible. And I'm thankful for that. But that was my very first Bible. I said, I need to have a Bible. Everyone needs to have a Bible. I brought with me today how many of you have a Bible? How many of you have two Bibles? How many have three Bibles? Okay. I brought today with me some Bibles. First, let me show you this one. This Bible right here was given to me. It was my great grandmother's. This is an old Bible, and this was part of my, I guess, what inheritance. It got passed down to me. This is one of the most precious things that I own. This is from my great-grandmother. My dad, who was not saved, he would tell me about his grandmother, my great-grandmother, how she would sit in her chair every morning, and her husband would sit in his chair every morning, and that they would read the Bible, and they would pray every morning. I'm so thankful for this Bible that I have. But that's just one of many Bibles. When I am out talking to people about the Lord, I have New Testaments, but I have a complete Bible that'll fit in the back of my pocket, my back pocket. Now, the letter's very small, but it's a complete Bible. And I do that for a reason, because I've run into people that don't accept the New Testament. So I use my Bible. There is... Oh, let me see here which one I want to get next. Then I have this one. This one is a complete Bible. It's pretty hard to put in my back pocket, but this is another one that I'll keep in the vehicle. And so I have this Bible too. We have lots of Bibles. I have, let's see here. This Bible, when I came back to the States, this was my English Bible that I was using. You say, well, it kind of looks new. I've had this Bible for years, but I do my devotions when I'm on the field. I do them in Spanish. And so if you would see my Spanish Bible, it's a lot different. But this is the Bible that I use, and I love the letter in here. The beautiful letters. Easy to read. The margin. It's another one of my Bibles. You might notice a theme here. It's getting a little bit bigger each time. This one I had before that one. This is the Bible that I was using, and it's a wide margin. The print, the font is a little bit smaller, but I love this Bible, and I have this Bible, and I've got it marked up, and I'll say something about that. Let me go ahead and just show it to you real quick. You see those colors? Some of us never graduate from kindergarten, right? But I have this Bible. And then every once in a while, you come to a case that is more difficult and you need a bigger Bible. No, I'm just kidding. And this Bible right here, another one of my Bibles. It look at the letter. Just a large letter. But these are Bibles that I have. And church, these aren't all the Bibles that I have. I have several more Bibles in English. I have a stack of Bibles in Spanish. I have the Spanish Bible from 1569. I have the Spanish Bible from 1602. Bibles, but to have a copy of the Word of God. Now, many of us, we have copies of the Word of God, but there are people all throughout Latin America and all throughout the world that don't have a copy of the Word of God. And I propose to you tonight that one of the things that the lost need today is to have their own Bible. I grew up, I was born in Washington, D.C., grew up 10 miles outside of the city. I got saved through the ministry of Woodlawn Baptist Church in Bowie, Maryland. At our church, for example, Sunday evening, when the service is over, people get to talking and we do the Baptist, it's the Baptist thing, and you may do it here. So we're here in the sanctuary, and after the service is over, we talk for a few minutes and we say goodbye. Then we make it to the foyer. We start talking again in the foyer, and then we say goodbye again. Then we make it to the parking lot. And we're out in the parking lot. Does anybody do that here? We get to the parking lot and we're talking again. And so now we're talking. I set my Bible on the top of my car. So here we finish talking and I get in my car and I'm driving home, and I lived about 25 minutes from the church, and I'm about halfway home, and I look over at the passenger seat, and my faithful companion wasn't there. My Bible wasn't there. Where is my Bible? Bill, you sat it on top of the car. And I drove back to the church, and there it was. It had fallen down in the gravel parking lot, and I'm picking up my Bible, and I'm fixing the dog edge. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I don't worship a book. This is the book that God has given to us, and God speaks to us. God tells us about Himself. He reveals Himself to us through His book. It is so important to have the Bible. I wanted my own Bible, and I mark my Bible. You're probably thinking this guy's a little bit strange. I have colored pencils. This is just one. I've got my backpack at the house that we're staying. I've got a whole nother set of colored pencils because I mark in my Bible. If it's a verse that says in it the word of the Lord, I mark it yellow. I color it yellow. If it says thus saith the Lord, I color it yellow. It's just a system that I've developed. If it says in the blood of Jesus Christ or the blood of Christ, when it says the word blood, referring to the blood of Christ, I take the color, good, the color red, and I color, it's just something that I do. When it has to do with Jesus Christ, with God, with His majesty, I color it purple. It's one of the things that I do with my Bible. I have these, I have archival ink. And these are ones that they won't bleed through the pages. So I'll underline verses using these markers here. And this one's a little bit different. I bought this one in Canada. But how many of you guys remember the four colored pens? Oh, man. I love these things. Because you just got the one right there. Oh, I need a red. Oh, got it. You know what? I need green. It has to do with growth. I've got it. Blue. And then, of course, the black, but I have this four colors. And now you're really going to think that I'm OCD. I have this little ruler here. Because when I draw a line or underline a verse, I want it to be straight. It's not OCD, it's just being neat. That's where you're supposed to say amen. My Bible. The Bible is a very special book. If you have a Bible, you ought to read your Bible. You ought to study your Bible. You ought to bring your Bible to church. God is going to speak to your heart through His Word and the preaching of His Word. And I would encourage you to read your Bible. But also, listen, there are many people today that I have all these Bibles here and Bibles at home, but they don't even have one Bible. The lost need a copy of the Word of God. In my 6 years of pastoring here in the States, we get a lot of mail from different organizations, missions agencies, Bible printing ministries, and we would get some that will be have to deal with a Bible project where they're going to raise funds to be able to send Bibles to Peru or whatever country it is that they pick, and that's a wonderful thing. Those that do that, there are Bible publishing ministries. Bearing Precious Seed, Beams is another one. Beams, we've passed out Bibles from Beams Ministry, and in the front of the Bible, they have an envelope in there that's already pre-addressed. So when we would give out this Bible, we would ask the person if they would write a thank you letter. They would write the letter, we would translate it, put it in the envelope, and send it back to the States so the person that provided that Bible would get a thank you note from the person that received the Bible. There's Bearing Precious Seed, Beams, Victory Baptist Press, and others. And we are so thankful through the years that we've been able to work with these ministries where they are printing the Word of God. But then there's the Bible projects. BIMI, for example, a few years back, Fiji contacted BIMI and they wanted BIMI to send Bibles to all their kids in school. BIMI responded, well, of course. And then they found out how many they needed. They said, give us a year. When it was all said and done, I believe BIMI sent 230,000 Bibles to Fiji. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. But Papua New Guinea found out what happened in Fiji. So Papua New Guinea calls BIMI and they said, hey, we heard about what happened in Fiji. We want you to do the same thing. When it was all said and done, they sent, I believe, over a million Bibles to Papua New Guinea. Church, I'm just saying this tonight, that it is very important that the lost have a copy of the Word of God. The lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. The Bible's like a GPS. It tells us about God. It also reveals us to ourselves. It shows us what God has done so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life, which is in His Son, Jesus. The Bible tells us and teaches us that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. I've said this before. I preach a lot about the Bible. I believe the Bible is just so important. You say, well, what about the deity of Christ or the doctrine of God or the doctrine of eternal salvation? I believe all those doctrines are important, but all of those doctrines come from the Bible. And so I've preached through the years a lot about the Bible. And I mentioned this, if I was on an abandoned island and I could only have two books with me, hands down, those two books would be the Bible and a good hymn book. Thank God for the music here. The Bible and a good hymn book. But then if I could only have one, wouldn't even think about it. It would be the Bible. Everyone needs to have a copy of the Word of God. The lost need a copy of the Word of God. Years ago, my son Justin and I, we were getting ready to have our VBS. The VBS was going to be in the afternoon, and we're getting things ready, and people are working at the church, and we had run out of Bibles. And there was a missionary that I had talked to and said, look, when you get another shipment of Bibles, please let me know. We're out of Bibles here. And coming up on VBS, getting ready to start it, we wanted to be able to give kids that trusted Christ their Savior a Bible, their parents that would come, we wanted to be able to give them Bibles. And so he texted me saying, hey, Brother Norton, we've got 10 cases of Bibles for you. I'm going to be coming by about an hour and 20 minutes away from where you are. Can you meet me there? I said, yes, sir. So I told our workers, this is what I'm doing. We're going to run out there, get those Bibles, and we'll come back and we'll have Bibles to give out. So my son Justin, we got in my Suburban. We took off. We're driving down the road. Now, driving in a foreign country is very different. And so we're driving, as we're driving down the road, I'm behind an 18-wheeler. It's one lane in both directions. We come to a section where it's two lanes. So now I get my opportunity to go around them. One thing after another, I just could not get around this 18-wheeler. So we got through the two-lane section, back to one lane, and now it's one lane in both directions. This side, you've got the mountain. This side, you've got So I'm just kind of lagging back a little bit, and I'm doing the... And I see a car coming in the opposite direction, so I wait. With a car coming in the opposite direction, my assumption is that the driver fell asleep. And when he did, he started to go off the road. His tires, when he felt the vibration there off the road, he overcorrected because the car was coming like this, went straight in front of the 18-wheeler and it T-boned him. Now, for us, it immediately was surreal, the smoke, the dust, the debris that's hitting our windshield, and I'm trying to slow down. I know I can't go over to the right because I'm going to go off the side of the mountain, and I can't go this side. I'm just trying to slow down. And so as we're going through this and just praying, Father, please, we need to get to this. Father, please, please, please. And we just kept going slowly. We got to the other side and got past that situation, got to where the missionary was. He gave us the Bibles and we got back. The story, very, very tragic story. The driver of that vehicle, he did pass away in that accident. But listen, driving in a foreign country, there are so many things, so much danger. But we know the importance of people having the Word of God. So we need to get them Bibles. And we've got to get there. And that's the reason why we made that trip that day. Church, everyone needs a copy of the Word of God. Second of all, people need to hear the Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People need to hear the Word of God. Back in the book of Jeremiah, there was a king. Jeremiah had been put in prison. The king calls Jeremiah out and he wants to talk with Jeremiah, and he does. And he asked Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah responded with two words. He said, there is. And there is a word from the Lord. People must hear the Word of God. So how is it that can people hear the Word of God? One way is by radio. There are Baptist radio ministries. They build and maintain radio stations that broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ far and wide. And in many cases, they do it 24 hours a day. Using the airwaves is a good tool in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. In one of our churches, we had a radio station ministry for a period of time. I have friends that travel around the world putting in radio stations so that people can hear the Word of God. The lost need to have a copy of the Word of God, but they also need to hear the Word of God. So you can do that by radio stations. That's one of the ways. Also, you can preach the Word of God where the lost are. Do you remember the woman at the well? Jesus went to the well where he knew she would be. Jesus sent his disciples out into the highways and hedges to where the people were so that they would come and hear the Word of God. Jesus has given us the Great Commission so that we can take the Word of God to the lost and preach to them the Word of God. There are so many verses and passages in the Bible that speak of the importance of hearing the Word of God. Have you ever been reading the Bible, or you're in a church service and you're listening to the message and you hear something or you read something and you're like, you go back and you read it again and you're like, you're not understanding it. You need someone to explain it to you. And that's the third thing. The lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. And sooner or later, they need to have someone explain the Word of God to them. And that's what I call boots on the ground. We as missionaries, we're not in competition with Bible publishing ministries, with radio ministries, or anything like that. We all work together. But listen, sooner or later, you've got to get boots on the ground. The missionary has to get there where the people are. They may have a Bible, but they're reading through the Bible and I don't understand. Take your Bibles real quick, if you would, and go to Acts chapter 8. This will be a familiar passage. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says this in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, Philip, thinking about all that's going on, great things are going on. People are hearing the Word of God. People are being saved. But the angel of the Lord says, I want you to go to a desert place. In verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. This was a very privileged man. He had a portion of the scripture. He had a portion of God's word, and he's sitting there in the chariot and he's reading it, but he's having trouble with what's being said. And it says in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, if you will, the missionary, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Listen, we send Bibles to Papua New Guinea, to Fiji, to Mexico, to Argentina, to Colombia, to Honduras, to El Salvador. We send Bibles to these places and people can get them and they can read the Word of God, but they're going to come across something there where they need some help. They need someone to explain it to them. And that's where we have boots on the ground. We have the missionary, and the missionary comes by and they say that they have a Bible. Hey, do you understand what the Bible says? And you're able to take the Bible and to preach to them Christ so that they can hear the Word of God and they can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we've got to get the boots on the ground. God sends missionaries to faraway lands with the Word of God in their hands and hearts and in their mouths and on their lips to proclaim and explain the Word of God to the lost so that they can be saved. Take your Bibles and turn over just a few pages to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Another familiar passage. This goes well with what we're looking at here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can say amen with that. We understand that. We've read that so many times. People need to hear about Jesus Christ. They hear about the redemptive work of Christ, what he did so that we can be saved. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they need to hear about Jesus first. In verse 14, it tells us very clearly, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Grace Baptist Church years ago held the ropes for us. As we went to these different countries in Latin America, as you supported us prayerly and financially, you allowed us to be your boots on the ground in these places to tell people about Jesus Christ. So now knowing about Christ, that they could call upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sooner or later, you've got to have boots on the ground. The lost need to have a Bible. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to have someone explain to them the Word of God. But there's something else that sometimes we skip over. Where are we at this evening? Now, if you're thinking Landrum, South Carolina, is it in Landrum? Is this okay? If you're thinking Landrum, South Carolina, you're right, but I'm being more specific. We're in church. I am so thankful for church. A place where I could go. I could hear the preaching of the Word of God. I could learn. I could grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for a church where I could be boots on the ground, where I could teach Sunday school, where I could start a teen class and then a college and career class, and I could learn. I could be boots on the ground. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to send Bibles and to send tracts and John and Romans and to have radio stations and to do all those things. And those are great things and they're needed things, but we've got to get the boots on the ground, because when people trust Christ as Savior, they need a church to go to where they can be exposed to the preaching of the Word of God, where they have a pastor that they can go to the pastor. Pastor, tengo una pregunta. Pastor, I have a question. I've read in the Bible this. Could you help me understand this? And they have the same thing that we enjoy here by having a church. They need a church just like we do. We've got to get boots on the ground. So thankful for the church, and being in church, God called me to be boots on the ground in Latin America. So, what is it that the lost need? They need a copy of the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. They need boots on the ground, someone to explain to them the Word of God, and they also need a church. And I know this evening we could think about other things that the lost need, and it's true. But how does all this happen? You have a missionary, you have the faith promise offering, the mission offering. That offering is given, it's given there at the church, it gets to the missionary and allows the missionary to be boots on the ground as a representative, for example, in our case here, of Grace Baptist Church, so that people have access to all the things that they need to come to know Christ as Savior, to grow, to have a church, and then for them to do the same things that we're doing where they are. I came across something here not too long ago. It's an article. It's called Tears of Joy After Defibrillator Saves Climber. I'm going to read a portion of this to you real quick that goes right along with what we're looking at this afternoon. It says, a Surrey man who installed a defibrillator which saved the life of an Mount Everest climber has said it made the mountain climb the most amazing thing I've ever done. David Sullivan from Oxted runs the Creating Lifesavers organization, which raises awareness of CPR and aims to install more defibrillators across England. These efforts most recently led the 62-year-old to the Himalayas, where he installed a defibrillator at an altitude of 20,000 feet. After returning 2 weeks ago, David said there were tears of joy when he learned that the device had saved the life of a French climber whose heart had stopped. He said, at 4 a.m., my phone pinged. I thought it was one of my children, but it came from a Sherpa 20,000 feet up Mount Everest. Yes, there are tears of joy. Our defibrillator was activated to save a young French lady's life. Pemba, the Sherpa who contacted David, said a young man from the Netherlands saw the defibrillator and used it with the help of an Austrian climber. The swift response paid off, with the climber Cecile now recovering well in a Kathmandu hospital. David believes this incident demonstrates that more defibrillators are needed across the world. He said, this makes every step going up Everest the most amazing thing I've ever done. To know that we saved this young lady's life is a crazy feeling. Church, when we give to missions, and the missionary gets to the field and he's boots on the ground, he has the Bible, He preaches the Word of God and someone gets saved. Not this physical life here that's very important to us as well, but they pass from death unto life. They're no longer a child of the devil, but they're a child of God. They have eternal life. And then we have the missionary letter here at the church, and the letter is read here in the, to the congregation of Grace Baptist Church. And you're thinking about the money that you've given and the prayers that you've offered up to God on behalf of the missionary. And now you know that someone has come to trust Christ as Savior because of your giving, because of your praying that allowed the defibrillator, the missionary, to be there to get to that person and give them the gospel before they passed away. The lost need a copy of the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to have boots on the ground and they need a church. Several years ago now, I was preaching in Central Argentina in our church in a Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening service. And as I was preaching it, that message was a salvation-oriented message. And as I was closing the message and I was winding things down, I got to the point where I started to give the invitation. And so I'm giving the invitation and I ask the question, if there's someone here this evening that does not know Christ as Savior, if you were to die today, tonight, on your way home from church, and you're not sure where you would spend eternity, but you would like to know, would you slip up your hand? Is there anyone here like that tonight? And there was a young woman that raised her hand. I saw her hand, and immediately I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have my wife talk to her after the service. I'm going to get one of the other ladies to talk to her after the service to be able to witness to her. And so I'm continuing with the invitation, and she starts to do this. And she wasn't satisfied with that because I did not say something to her. Pastor, pastor, yo quiero ser salva. She said, pastor, pastor, I want to be saved. And she got saved that night. What a glorious thing. That's the only time it's happened in my ministry. Praise God for it. But thank God for it. But church, listen, Grace Baptist Church and all the other churches that supported us, you had a part in that because you, by your faithful giving and prayers, allowed us to be boots on the ground so that we could preach the Word of God and give out Bibles and Noelia could come to trust Jesus Christ as her Savior. But we've got to get the boots on the ground. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He knew what we needed when we were lost, and He knows what the lost need today. And God wants to use us to meet those needs so the lost get an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this evening and close your eyes? Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. I'm going to pray and then ask Pastor to come. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us once again to be reminded of these very simple truths, the things that we needed and we still need today, and to grow the lost need. And Father, we're blessed, and help us to share that blessing with others so that the lost can come to know you as Savior. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless Grace Baptist Church and Pastor and his family. Father, bless this invitation and do what you can do, what only you can do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.